The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, who will be saved but a few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and not be able to. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' And then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will be able to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. In tonight's Gospel, Luke tells us about the door policy of the kingdom of heaven and how there is no such thing as automatic membership. While Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, someone asks him how many of those will be saved. Rather than speculate about arithmetic salvation, Jesus gives practical advice about the present time. Try your best to enter by the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and will not succeed. The door is not as wide that someone can casually saunter in at any time. The door is narrow, and individuals must strive now to enter it. Nor will the door remain open indefinitely. When lock-up time comes, the master of the house has secured the door, and those who miss their opportunity will not be admitted. The narrow door now has become the locked door. The image changes from a tight space to time up. Those who wait until the door shut try knocking, but the householder reminds them that they are strangers. The latecomers try to remind the householder of their common ties. They ate and drank together. They listened to him teaching in the streets. But the Lord is not impressed with superficial acquaintance. People who eat and drink in the same restaurants and bars, read the same newspapers, watch the same programs, don't necessarily share the same commitments. Camp followers are not disciples. The pain of being excluded from the kingdom is worsened when the latecomers see the kind of people who have been allowed in as members. There is not even the dubious consolation of knowing that at least so-and-so is on the wrong side of the door. Members come from all over, from east and west, from north and south, and they take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. The prophecy of Isaiah that we heard in the first reading is seen to be fulfilled as people from all the nations enjoy the favour of the Lord. All sorts. The door policy of the kingdom keeps surprising people. There is no sure way of knowing who is in and who is out. In the kingdom of God, there is no telling who is coming to dinner. The teaching of Jesus is clearly opposed to the kind of national or religious elitism that presumes it has an assured place in God's kingdom. As one who is treated as an outsider by his own people, Jesus has a natural allegiance to those who don't belong to the right crowd. Good roots are not enough. Having the right address is not enough. Having an impressive pedigree that goes back to Abraham is not enough. Borrowed fidelity does not impress Jesus. There is no substitute for one's own decision for the kingdom of God. Jesus describes the condition for entering the kingdom when he says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." Fellowship in the kingdom is open to all people who hear the word of God and keep it. The door policy is determined by fidelity to the word of God. And Jesus said that conversion was a necessary disposition for entry into the kingdom. And he succeeded in bringing about the most unlikely of people. Many sinners heeded his call to conversion and made their way into the kingdom, whereas many religious people stubbornly resisted his call to conversion and so excluded themselves from the kingdom. It's not up to us to decide who gets into heaven. That is best left to the wisdom and the mercy of God. We have to allow God to be God, and at the end of the day, salvation is not something that we earn. It is a gift from God. That doesn't mean we ought not to try to make ourselves worthy of it. Through baptism, we are members of the new chosen people. We are the insiders. But we mustn't rely on that fact alone. We must endeavour to produce the fruits of the kingdom, namely goodness, right living, and truth.